Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to Your Questions Answered. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by Michael Sidgwick from What Culture to answer your burning wrestling questions. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we review Raw, SmackDown, NXT, AEW Dynamite, pay-per-views. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. I'm Adam Wilborn, as I said, joined by Michael Sidgwick, back by popular man to take on the Q&A community and answer all the questions at What Culture WWE, of course.
Every time.
First question, I'm going to cover this off because I'll forget otherwise. The first question we got in was from Sidgwick Omega fan Matt Reigns, who asked about taking the belt off Omega via Hangman, of course, after what happened at Double or Nothing, and who he thinks is going to take the belts off Miro and Britt Baker and the Young Bucks. And I can tell you, we're not going to be answering that one today. We're going to make you wait till Sunday for that. We've got a whole podcast about what needs to happen following Double or Nothing, in which we're going to cover that question off, and a whole host of other ones. So instead, Michael Sidgwick, I mean, take a wild guess at what the most asked question was today. It was, of course, all about the WWE releases. A lot of people asking about where you think a lot of these guys are going to end up and who should go to AEW, of course. But before we get into that, I had a chat with Hamflet about it earlier on today. I'd love to know your thoughts and reaction to the news last night.
Oh, I'd rather be here all day, but it's a complex question that branches out into several different topics of conversation, one of which I think is going to be asked imminently, so I will not cover the sale questions slash narrative just yet. For me, it was shocking. Several of these talents had been on WWE TV under just recently repackaged personas, in the case of Aleister Black, or having just beaten Shane McMahon, which I don't think it's a bloody scalp we're talking about, but internally it is.
Yeah.
I interpreted this not so much as an imminent sale, which we will get to, right? Because I believe somebody else has asked that question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I interpreted this as one, yet another indication that things just changed like that. It was ironic of Tommy End, in my opinion, to bury people who used plans change, because the plans literally changed on him. Like, they'd invested time and money into those vignettes just to cut them loose. Another indication that all of it is chaos. And in the case of Strowman, I interpreted this as almost a warning shot to the roster, for reasons I can't really fathom, possibly because nothing's drawn at the minute. Interest in WrestleMania Backlash was very, very low. Ratings, as they tend to do, are just nosediving following WrestleMania. I took the release of Braun Strowman legitimately as a warning shot. I think they asked themselves, right, obviously he's on a big, massive contract and we're trying to cut costs. Who is the most expendable big name we have that we can get rid of that the entire roster will sort of look at with sheer panic? Like, if they're releasing him, do I have job security? With the idea being, well, the idea is you're not meant to think you have it, even if you do, and you better start showing out. forget the booking that ruins you. Your performance of that booking needs to get better, because I think they wanted to send out a little no one is safe message. That's my personal interpretation. I know the key reason reportedly is the fact that he was on a massive bumper contract. But for me, it was so savvy in the most horrendous of ways, of course. It was savvy is the word I would use to describe Strowman's departure, because it lets people know that no one's safe. And Strowman will come back. He will come back, in my opinion, within 2 years. He won't be 40. He'll still be able to get around. I think they believe that he won't go anywhere because he's like weirdly sort of just loyal. And he said that he wouldn't even negotiate with another company, which was just moronic, in my opinion. I think when he comes back, people go, oh, Christ, Strowman's back. He's a big star. Rather than, oh, Strowman's not really doing anything. I think they've given themselves a freebie for a return down the line. They've cut a massive contract off their books, and they fired a warning shot because he was perceived as a massive star. He had a big WrestleMania storyline. He was just in a world title program.
He was the guy they picked to replace Roman Reigns to defeat Goldberg, let's not forget, as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. And he got himself into like incredible shape, the best shape of his career this year. I feel like that was a very cynical warning shot fired.
There's a lesson here, Bart. Never try. It's just like... I've ranted enough about the whole budget cuts, record profits, bollocks. The other thing that really got on my nerves this morning was them going, well, they had to get rid of him because he negotiated a monster contract because he knew his worth. Sorry, what's that say? Don't try and earn more money, because just accept what you're given. Like, it's preposterous, that as a suggestion. But like you say, there is not much logic centering around these. I did like Tommy N's line. I think he said... his last 2 years in WWE was it a slow death, he said.
A slow death.
He is someone everyone is talking about now. He ain't going to struggle for work. Is he someone you'd like to see in AEW? And I don't know, people have pitched him in great matches everywhere. New Japan, AAA, wherever you want to see him. Like, he is, I mean, his phone must be just blowing up right now. But what about AEW? Because that seems the place that everyone immediately turned to, particularly with Tommy End, formerly known as Aleister Black.
I would prefer to see him in New Japan Pro Wrestling because, one, I need to be incentivized more to watch New Japan Pro Wrestling, because for me, the booking in that company is falling off a cliff. Even at its best, when they put the best two guys together in not particularly compelling storylines, Ghetto's formulas kind of exposed itself. Winner X will win a match. Winner Y will beat winner X. Right. X versus Y wins a match, right?
Mm-hmm.
Y, having lost, will win a few more matches, maybe even a title, and then winner X of their previous match will challenge them now that it's all very, like, well-crafted 50-50, almost, is the way I would describe the worst, like, boilerplate impulses of Ghetto. So I need to be more incentivized, because even the best matches, I feel like I've seen them a million times. And with AEW, I feel like their roster is so bloated at present that, you know, if Tommy End comes in, I mean, that means I see less of Ty Conti, who I was really high on a month ago and I'd like to be high on again, just as an example. Aleister Black has got such a unique way of striking in a promotion that really emphasizes it. Like, I'd love to see Tommy End versus Minoru Suzuki. I'd love to see Tommy End versus Tomohiro Ishii. Like, the way he works, I feel like it would be such a huge compliment to New Japan Pro Wrestling. I think New Japan Pro Wrestling needs him more than AEW, and I need New Japan Pro Wrestling to have a new shot on the arm more than I need AEW to have it. So for purely subjective reasons, I'd like to see Tommy End resurface in New Japan Pro Wrestling.
And I know he's obviously vacated the title recently, but Ospreay, immediately after the news, posted a photo of him and Tommy End and got me very, very excited as well.
Ospreay's the kind of guy who I don't like, but his matches are invariably awesome. And when I read one that's, oh, you know, Will Ospreay does like a 4¾-star match in his sleep, oh, this one was actually better than that. It's like, right, okay, I will watch it because it's a completist wrestling fan thing. I can't really get excited for an Ospreay match. And it's not just because he's a dismal edgelord of a promo. Tommy End's talking, Aleister Black's talking, was rubbish. And I feel like in AEW, using the precedent set by Darby Allin, I feel like they can book people who don't necessarily have to talk, because being on the microphone isn't the only means by which you can get over. You can do like a silent vignette like we've seen with Darby Allin that I think would be far suited to Aleister Black's strengths to get over. So I've got no doubt that AEW can book him. I just feel like New Japan is a better fit for his style, and I just selfishly would want a different reason to watch New Japan. Shall I quickly go through the rest of the releases before we go on to the next question?
Murphy was someone I thought as a potential New Japan. I mean, Hamlet said he's been, you know, compared to Omega, and they need an Omega. He's someone else who will not struggle for work.
No, I think he'll get picked up by someone. I think he'll get picked up pretty much the second that his no-compete expires. I haven't really been given enough of a indication from Murphy, right, that he's going to be a great promo guy and a great episodic TV guy who can have his own creative input and make these Dynamite shows like endlessly watchable week to week with loads of hooks. It's a promo promotion. Again, it's WWE scripting. Who the hell knows? It could be Ric Flair. You don't know. It's WWE. You just don't know. But from what I know of Murphy, I think that he would be better off showing that this New Japan influence that he has, can he actually go to that standard, which we want to know because, again, he works for WWE, or is he just savvy enough to know which moves don't get done in WWE that he can get over in WWE? I mean, that's smart enough in itself. So I would like to see him go to New Japan to see, is he a New Japan cosplayer or is he New Japan caliber? I think for me to take him seriously at that top level of how good it actually is, this guy, and I do think he's very, very good, but I do think he needs to answer that question, because the harsh thing he could say about Buddy Murphy is he wish Kenny Omega, or has he just simply used some of Kenny Omega and Kota Ibushi's and Will Ospreay's moves because he's clever enough to realize, hang on, I could do that and get over. So I want to see him in New Japan to help me make my mind up. So New Japan for Murphy, for me, because AEW have got enough guys who don't get enough TV matches who can also really sell me on them wrestling with promos. Ruby Riott, AEW all the way.
Yep.
I saw Ruby Riott as Heidi Lovelace at a Chikara show in North Shields, Northeast England. And she was the second best and most animated and sort of laden with star power performer on that show, not named, and I'm not saying this to be like an absolute hipster arsehole, even though I am. She outperformed everybody on that show apart from Fire Ant. I remember watching Fire Ant and Ophidian, and I'm not a big Chikara guy, but I just knew it would be a good show, and they're not in town very often. And I watched Fire Ant and Ophidian, and I thought, going a bit Cornette with Fire Ant. I know the Ant law is like, this is going to be sacrilegious to Chikara diehards, but like, I'm not into the Ant law. I don't know much about it. But I remember watching Fire Ant thinking, why is he under a mask? I did a proper Sami Zayn El Generico thing. It's like, well, this guy can go. He's awesome. Turns out it's Orange Cassidy. So I love that about me. Scouting bloody talent. But other than Fire Ant, on a show that Eddie Kingston had a short match and Drew Gulak had a short match, you didn't really get the best of what they can do. But Lovelace just struck out at me as, Jesus Christ, why isn't she in WWE? And then she arrived in WWE and she was booked by WWE. But from that evidence and loads of anecdotal evidence and from little I've seen elsewhere of Heidi Lovelace, is she can flat out go. She's incredibly experienced. She can be a deep level asset and indeed wrestler for AEW. Santana Garrett.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, belief systems notwithstanding, that don't necessarily make me want to watch her again. I can't remember anything about the way she worked in NXT. Her appearance was just so brief. I think the best thing she can do, AEW certainly don't need her. They need someone like a Lovelace more than they need her. The best thing she can do is get her head down, get booked maybe for Mission Pro, maybe an Impact run. Just she needs to get her head down, prove that she can go, And then she can enter the conversation of, all right, well, she can maybe return to NXT or maybe she can go to AEW. But I've seen very little enough of her to fan cast her for different promotions. Who else got released?
Lana is the last one.
I mean, she can't really wrestle. She can't. I wouldn't want to see her on AEW for that reason. I mean, who knows? Again, it's WWE. She could be Minami Toyota and you just don't know because she's been in WWE this entire time and the training is what it is. Not great. Look at the results.
Mm-hmm.
The match production is what it is. Heavily homogenized. But, you know, I've seen her botch loads. I don't think I've ever seen her work something I would call like a really good match with an emulation of a struggle. I haven't even seen a glimpse that she can really go. This was like Peyton Royce. You could see, all right, okay, I think with enough reps that there's a worker in Peyton Royce. And nah, come on, I never saw that of Lana. I do, however, remember a very good valet presence who popped off the screen and who complimented Rusev's act very well. If anything, I would like to see it be a valet for Miro.
Mm.
But that, even then, that just feels like an echo of something that used to work. I don't think it's necessarily suited to this new Miro character. Miro's valet, it's the most obvious take, so obvious that I don't think people have actually thought it through. If she is serious about wrestling, and by all accounts, she actually is, and she puts in that goddamn work, then do an Impact run. Like, Impact will take it. Impact will love, in fact, the spike, because Lana's got a big following of her own.
Yeah.
Impact's current schedule, which, you know, will probably change, given that we're going to be post-pandemic, fingers crossed, in the not-too-distant future, means that they do a big block tape and where the work, work, work. Maybe that can act as a way for it to get reps, but at the minute, I can't fan cast it for AEW. I just don't think it's a good fit.
Well, thanks to everyone who asked questions regarding the WWE releases. I've hopefully tried to cover off as much as we could there in terms of fantasy matchups and where they're going to be heading. But you mentioned the sale of WWE. That was the sort of second way.
Sorry, I didn't actually mention Strowman. People were asking where Strowman's going to end up.
Well, yeah.
I think he's going to go back. I don't think he's got the big appetite to be a wrestler. I just think he's had it in his head, implanted by WWE. Everything else is small time. This is your home. We made you. And I think he might be weirdly loyal, despite the fact that they showed him very little loyalty.
Did I see something about TV and movies with Braun Strowman?
I can imagine you do it. Did he see him beat Elf?
Yes.
In a WWE.com bit that they did a couple of Christmases ago. He's got good comic timing. In fact, he was too good in WWE level performance at doing comedy that people like Vince McMahon must have thought, well, he's big, he shouldn't be funny. Is that kind of...
Yeah.
Knackered him. He could possibly play like an action movie guy who gets killed.
Mm.
You know, like a henchman figure. He could probably get work just through his size alone. I don't think many promotions could afford him. I think the asking price that he'll ask for, AEW would just balk at it. Given the style of performer he is, he'd probably have to win a lot. Braun Strowman, AEW world title picture. None of this feels like a fit for me. Sorry, carry on about the next question.
I'm not getting my fantasy match that I've always wanted with Braun Strowman. And okay, fair enough.
And who? Marco Stunt again?
Yeah. And then, because I got after so much, like, what would be the best WWE versus AEW crossover match? And it was either Braun or Brock, always versus. This is poor Marco Stunt because I'm a sadist. This is going to sound like a really backhanded compliment, but he could do a bit of a Nathan Jones, couldn't he? He was, you know, a big, massive bloke who got killed in Troy.
Better than Nathan Jones.
But I mean, in terms of like, look at him and he go, bloody, look at the size of him. You know, it's the land of the giants, WWE, and you put him in, you know, like Batista, I don't think, said a word in Spectre, and he's still like, oh, there he is, look at the size of him, sort of thing. So hopefully, yeah, I think I agree with that one. I think he's going to go off and do some other stuff, maybe do some indie dates and just murder some people. And...
Not doing indie dates.
Yeah.
Not doing indie dates at all. Just cannot see it. He's fed pill from day one.
Yeah. Brain strong man. at your local wrestling club. Off the back of that, though, as I was getting into the sort of second wave of these releases, was people going, Sean Ross.
Don't say waves. Jesus Christ, I hear enough of that in the news.
I've got it instilled in me. Apologies. But yeah, Sean Ross Sapp, I saw talking about this, numerous other people. Brandon Thurston seemed to dismiss it, but Mindrunner asks, do you think WWE, well, specifically Mindrunner asks, do you think WWE could just sell Raw and keep SmackDown in terms of a potential sale? But I'd obviously going to open that out into you into what you think about this, the potential WWE sale with the TV deals, record profits, shrinking of staff, et cetera, et cetera.
I get where he's coming from because it's more tied in with the NBC, USA, Peacock umbrella deal. But I can't imagine, it's all or nothing for Vince McMahon. I can't imagine him like looking at Raw with no control. And they might keep him on, but again, he's more accountable if he's kept on as Booker in such a scenario. And I just, his level of control in general, I think if that company gets sold, it'll be everything. And I don't think it's getting sold as long as Vince McMahon is alive. This is a man who was gifted by Triple H a massive Tyrannosaurus Rex skull to reflect, and I quote, his voracious appetite for life. Vince McMahon is such a strange man. He's got a yacht called Sexy Bitch. And as far as I can tell, he's never sailed it because he doesn't sleep. He just works out and books terrible television and eats dried meat. That's all he does. Like, I know he used to kick around in bars taking doomsday devices, but even before the pandemic hit, I didn't think he was doing that anymore. I think he was just working, working, working. He's a total control freak. I understand that tidying up the books and cutting expenditures is what businesses do to prepare themselves for a sale and make themselves look like more of a saleable asset. Mm-hmm. Here's what I think's happened. Nick Khan has grown in influence and Vince McMahon is now more reciprocal to listening to him because he's made him loads of money. Vince McMahon can treat his fans and his creative writers staff like nothing. Who you want to see get pushed? I don't care, pal. You're a mark. I won wrestling. You. It's creative writers. That's a rubbish promo. It's a stupid match to pitch. I'll take my red pen and go, erase several days of your life and I'll just write the script last minute. He can do that to those people. Vince McMahon can't, with his shareholders, do what he wants. He can't do that. He can't. Vince McMahon is, every penny counts to these people, right? That's the key. Every single cent matters to these people. It's not enough. 1 million, 1 billion and 2 cents is so much more to these people than 1 billion. Mm. Like every cent counts. And I think the idea, and I think Nick Khan has sort of brought him to this way of thinking. The idea is this thing that you're doing of hiring so much talent that you can't even book, you're just sinking money into a hole. For what purpose? I know what the purpose is. You want to prevent the competition from getting stronger. I think there's been a change of heart encouraged by Nick Khan, which is like, look, this isn't working. We're losing too much money on this. And from this vantage point, we can't see that AEW are getting enough of an advantage here from this approach. Just isn't happening. They're making their own guys for a start, which is a bit dangerous for WWE. But at the same time, if they can make their own guys, then they don't need to keep guys away from them. It's just there's no incentive to do this anymore. There just isn't. I don't think they're readying themselves for a sale. Vince McMahon's too much of a control freak and there's just not enough incentive anymore to sink all of this ridiculous money into warehouse contracts, particularly when every cent matters. And from their vantage point, AEW's doing well, but they're not aggressively expanding their audience, even if they are their operations.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's go back to some more questions we got on Twitter at WhatCultureWW. Of course, if you want to get in touch with us, at M Sidgwick, at Adam Wilborn for both of us. Matthew Parr asks, and I think this is still, you know, a question that's being asked, and I believe Matthew's asked this in good faith, so it'd be nice. But he says, do you think AEW is becoming oversaturated with former WWE guys? Because the thing is, with this question is, you know, people are talking about, oh, well, Tony Khan's name was trending last night. You know, oh, well, all these WWE guys can just go straight to AEW. A, I think it's fair to say, I'd like to think of myself as unbiased, despite the fact I've been called a paid shill for WWE and AEW yet again this week. I like to say that AEW have particularly cherry-picked the stars that they've picked up, the talent that they have chosen to distribute, whether it be commentators, whether it be, you know, Mark Henry, or whether it now, you know, with Miro and et cetera, et cetera. The thing is, and I think there's bad faith takes. I don't think Matthew is doing this, by the way. I think there's bad faith takes of just like, oh, just throw mud by saying, oh, AEW is the new TNA, I see. Just pick up any old WWE talent. But just explain for people who maybe have not heard it, the fact that WWE guys in this era of wrestling is a sort of nonsensical term.
It is, because there's no such thing as a WWE guy. There are independent contractors who were contracted by WWE for several years, and they might be confused for WWE guys, but WWE hasn't made anyone. In fact, they've just released the one guy that they made post-performance center in Strowman. But the idea is that, and TNA have kind of destroyed this idea over their years by like hero worshipping everyone who came in as like, Christ, we're saved. All you idiots, all you homegrowns are saved. Look at this guy who's come in. AEW have never once done that. In fact, for me, they've done the complete opposite. And I know I'm jumping ahead. AEW went, right, you tell them why WWE screwed you over and why you're going to be better than the guy you were in WWE. John Moxley's done it. Mr. Brody Lee's done it. FTR have done it. Miro's now doing it. In parallel, AEW are now represented in the men's and in the men's world singles and tag divisions by people who never needed WWE success. They're the top champions. That should illustrate that you don't need, that they don't need or rely on ex-WWE guys. Darby Allin, MJF, Jungle Boy, never worked for WWE. They are three key components of that mid-card slash upper mid-card. The main event, looking at Darby Allin's run right now. Hulk Hogan wasn't a WWE guy. He was made in New Japan Pro Wrestling and in Hollywood by Rocky III and in the American Wrestling Association, in which he first got hot. Andre the Giant did a lot of stuff for WWF, but he also made a killing in Japan. Stone Cold Steve Austin, Triple H, Mick Foley, three cornerstones of the Attitude Era. There's no one going, WCW guys. It's just, I can understand where you're coming from, because the idea is it's meant to be an alternative. to WWE. There were moments on a few Dynamites in 2020 where I thought, hang on, this does feel like half or 4/6 of the card are heavy on guys who've just been released. Optics-wise, I would have balanced those shows better, but it was only the odd show where I thought, oh, a bit heavy on WWE guys, this doesn't feel like an alternative. But the next week, it wasn't. And even on that show, they were removed drastically from their WWE selves. So no, as long as someone's an asset and they are motivated to get more over than they were in WWE, it's silly not to sign ex-WWE guys, because what you're doing is you're legitimizing the operation by saying, these guys want to come here. Mm. And I should mention, Brody Lee, FTR, Shawn Spears, Jon Moxley all made the choice to jump, right? Kurt Angle was basically thrown back in 2006. They said, go to rehab, like, you're a mess. And he went, no. And they went, right, well, you're a liability, so we'll release you. He went to TNA. Mr. Kennedy fired, showed up in TNA. Like, the opposite is true in AEW. And I can understand if you watch a Dynamite, it's like, there's loads of ex-WWE guys on this, but it's just totally different, in my opinion.
You know what my thing is? And it was personified by your Revolution. You know the meme where it's the guy sweating and there's the two buttons to press?
Yeah.
It's like, one half is, just WWE's cast off. Is that what you can get now? That's one. And the other one is, and this is not, by the way, this is not me shooting. I think he's great. And I think he was really great in his role at Double or Nothing. But like Ethan Page comes out and they go, oh, we can't hit the WWE button. Oh, nobody from the independents. Who's that? It's like, we can't win. There's your two avenues. That's it. Unless Tom Cruise comes in and he's just, you know, a luchador all of a sudden. That's your two avenues. It really frustrates. I don't know why I wound myself up with this, but still.
I remember when Mr. Brody Lee, rest in power, won the TNT title. I did that exact meme. Well, they just pushed next WWE guys. And then the next button was, oh, AEW don't know how to book big guys. I'm like, oh, what do I say? Which bad faith contradicts the other? So I'm not saying that the gentleman who asked the question was doing so in bad faith whatsoever, but in my opinion, mostly it's fine. I mean, what are you going to do? Turn down Jon Moxley? And I'm not saying they're all as good as Jon Moxley, but, and I know that there's a number that might feel like, oh, it's getting a bit too much. So it is more nuanced, I guess, but I just think that WWE doesn't own shit.
Yes. Thank you for the question, Matthew. Thank you for the follow on Twitter. And myself and Michael Zudrick also love sweet 90s jams, as it says in your bio. So thank you for all that. Right. I'm going to do the old parenting trick now. I'm going to give you your vegetables, but if you eat them, I'll give you dessert, okay? Megan Roxburgh. Megan asks, what are the odds on Eva Marie being a serious contender for Money in the Bank?
Oh, she's over and she's got a following, and they are not shy whatsoever of trolling the audience. It would create buzz, it would create a discourse. Eva Marie's got a following, she's also got several detractors, and I'm thinking here, man, if you care so much about the quality of women's wrestling, go and watch Stardom. Mm. You know what I mean? It's like, I just feel like people, oh, she doesn't know how to wrestle. Well, WWE doesn't even call itself a wrestling company, so it's fine. I absolutely can see them going in that direction. It would be funny if they went in that direction. However, as an empathetic human being who doesn't even like watching people get, and I do like when people fall over. I do like when people get like seriously, physically, emotionally hurt. Because of that, I don't want to see Eva Marie in a ladder match.
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine? Like, for that reason alone, I can see it, but I don't want to see it.
Yes. I think they will genuinely use her, as I think Hamlet alluded to with Jackson Riker. They may well use both of them in that match of like, oh, bloody, you know, like, we're sat here going, wouldn't it be great if, you know, Big E and Sonya Deville emerged with those Money in the Bank briefcases? But WWE, as Hamlet said on our podcast about it, loves to just torture the fans and be like, yeah, but what if the worst thing ever happened? And they just like got Eva Marie and Jackson Riker there to have you panicked a little bit. So she'll be a contender, Megan, but I don't think she'll win. I think, well, I hope it's someone like a Sonya Deville or a Bayley or a Naomi or someone like that, because that's the avenue they should be going down. And yeah, even if they did see, oh, even Marie's name's trending last night. Yeah, it's not for the right reasons. It's really not for the right reasons. Okay, thank you for answering that. So I'll give you this one from David Dumakin. Dumakin? Sorry, David, I've butchered your surname there. Do you think AEW could do their own version of the G1? Might be a good way to keep TV ticking over, leading to a big pay-per-view. Two of your favourite things there, AEW and the G1.
Round-robin tournaments, the G1 in particular, are tits. Make maths fun. They set the tone early, because when Ghetto's good, he's very good. They set the tone early. There's always an upset on the first night or two, which just completely creates this competitive vibe where anyone can beat anyone on any given night. You can excuse defeats because everyone's up for it, so the motivation factor is there. You can excuse a defeat and build matches after this month of matches when X beats Y and Y's better positioned on the card, and X is like, well, your spot's mine. You can make a million matches from this match heavy masterpiece of a tournament format. I would absolutely love to see AEW adopt the G1 format. The only issue being is that it's quite convoluted. AEW is the promotion that treats its audience's intelligence with respect. So I don't think this would be a consideration, this being, it's a bit hard for more casual audiences to follow. It's just not something that's been done in America, and I don't think it's been done for particularly cynical reasons. I personally would love to see it. Hey, then again, they do the casino battle royal. Convoluted rules are nothing for this company. Do a G1. Do a goddamn G1. They are tits. You could do it for title contendership and a trophy in its own right. Just rip off New Japan.
Yeah, I was going to say, even with my ripped
off enough military angles in the past, just rip off one of the best things going in wrestling today. The champion can be in it. Just like the champion, the IWGP champion is in the G1s in New Japan.
And with Omega, I mean, you might not be saying it's going to happen next week, but with Omega as champion, that's just even better, isn't it?
Oh, Christ, I. You could have, like, Omega lose to, I know Jungle Boy would be the perfect example, but he's having the match next week. You could have Kenny Omega lose to like Chuck Taylor or something, and then together would have an awesome match. You know, it's just the you give yourself passes when you book something as brilliant and as intricate as the G1. You count such and such. I want him to win. How's he going to win? He has to do this. He has to do this. It's like it's total obsession fodder. There's very few things I've enjoyed more watching wrestling than the G1 climax. It's exhausting. AEW's TV format means mercifully it'll be spread out a bit because it's so hard to watch everything. You're like, oh, was that 4 stars, 4.25? No, I can't watch that. I'll have to make time for the 4.5 stars I'm going to get tonight. It's like, it's an embarrassment of riches. Like, I'd love to see them do it.
Yeah, I was going to say, even with my very limited knowledge of New Japan, when we did that thing about it, and I started sitting there and fantasy booking and going, right, we've got Moxley here, and we've got Naito here, and we've got Carter and stuff. Like you say, you just get sucked in. Absolutely, I'd love to see AEW doing something like that, particularly obviously with the relevancy of someone like Kenny Omega and. Well, with the potential there, it's so exciting. Maybe we'll do a fantasy booking podcast for that down the line. Speaking of podcasts, Ant says, I heard this on the Voices of Wrestling podcast and was wondering what your take would be. I really don't want to send you back into a downward spiral. But what would the pandemic have been like for yourself and the wrestling industry without AEW?
Jesus Christ. Oh, my God.
The funniest cinematic match would have been Money in the Bank that way.
It doesn't bear thinking about. It doesn't. I've said it before. AEW didn't just do good shows during a pandemic. They embraced the fact that, right, we can't actually always do normal wrestling. Let's use depressing space where fans should be and use it to create cool stuff. Right, what can we do? There's no fans. in the park, in the stands. Well, let's explore Daly's place. What have you got to work with here? Oh, there's a parking lot. Do a parking lot brawl. Oh, there's some concession stands here. All right, nail the Young Bucks face first into them with the butcher and the blade and send them up an escalator. Use everything as, like, plunder, because otherwise, all it is a depressing visual reminder that there are no fans here. I thought AEW did such a tremendous job of doing pandemic wrestling that, oh boy, I'd rather do this job than most, but I'd be even more sad.
Yeah, let alone how much I didn't realise I needed Stadium Stampede 1 until it happened. Putting all that to one side, putting all of, arguably, all of AEW's matches and output to one side. I don't think if you take AEW out of the picture, I don't think we have any fans. I think that empty performance centre is what we'd have been staring at for over 12 months. And I don't know what place I would be in reviewing Monday Night Raw if that was the case. So it just doesn't bear thinking about, but there you go. There's a nightmare for all of us to wake up from in a cold sweat over the next few days. So thank you for that question. Thomas Martin, in a similar sort of vein, asks, is it okay to start fast-forwarding matches on Raw? I started it last Monday because I'm fed up of the same boring stuff week in, week out. I'll tell you what, if we didn't have AEW and I didn't have a way to watch Raw on double speed, I think you might have seen my resignation getting handed in a World Culture, if I'm honest.
I don't think you're overstating it. I do not think you're overstating it at all. What was that person's name?
Thomas says, yeah, is it okay to start fast-forwarding matches on Raw?
It's okay to just stop watching it, all right. There's this lunatic that follows me, and he's convinced that I'm going to be the downfall of WWE itself because of my... the dim view I take of WWE, he interprets it as sabotage. And I'm trying to mobilize my following into putting an end to it. So this won't go down well with that. Don't watch it. If you're watching this out of fear of missing out or you'd like it to be better, here's the thing. You're not missing anything and it ain't going to get any better. If you're watching it because you like elements of the show, I mean, if you got to the point now where you have to fast forward through the, we have to not watch it to enjoy watching it, you're better off just not watching it at all. Don't watch it. Do something else with your time that makes you happy.
And listen to the Raw review instead.
Just listen to the Raw review if you're worried about it. Wherever you get your podcast from.
We'll flag it up. When it gets good again, we'll let you know. Might be a while.
That's never getting good again, man. Ever.
Plus, it's also quite fun. Like, I've talked about this loads when I went off on my honeymoon and came back and went, what's going on in wrestling? Like, that's quite fun as well. Yeah. There's no shame in whether it be, like we say, watching it on double speed or skipping through matches you don't enjoy. Like, when I watch SmackDown, I'm not sat in there going, right, Saturday morning. Yeah. Saturday morning, I'm going to watch this at normal speed and not... I skip through loads. There's a load of bollocks on SmackDown. The reason why I'm probably so positive about SmackDown is because I just go, skim through the bits I really like. And then when I come on a Friday morning to remember in the last week's SmackDown, I was like, wall-to-wall, great stuff. I mean, I didn't watch that, but it's great, yeah. Because I don't have to analyse it. I don't have to make notes on it. Everything else I have to... When I had to sit there on Tuesday and write down what happened in that opening segment with Miz TV and Rhea Ripley and what have you, I was like, you bastards. So, and apparently that went long, Sige. You're telling me, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Right, final few questions here. Jay Doomwild says, hi, gents, big fan. Who do you think will take the IWGP heavyweight title at Dominion this coming Monday, Okada or Takagi? As much as I want Shingo to win, I think we'll play it safe with Okada. I hope not, as Shingo has narrowly lost these last few big matches. Thanks. Thanks for the question, Jay.
Thanks for the question, Jay. I, unfortunately, because I need some fresh developments in that company right now, I have to echo your opinion and your rationale behind it. This company is in not great condition. They had a weirdly successful, by pandemic standards, Road to show the other day. That notwithstanding, I think the wider belief is this is a company on the decline. I think that Okada is the more proven draw, the safer pair of hands. Happily, however, I think that New Japan fans are smart. They will understand why they've gone that route. And I don't think it'll be something that ruins Shingo, even if it's his second big loss on the bounce. I think that he will deliver the goods yet again. The last Okada Shingo match was awesome, like incredible. And I think if he enters another performance like that, which was a virtual guarantee at this point, that he will emerge from even a loss with like the exact same cachet he has right now. So TLDR, boring, uninspiring, but great wrestling that isn't damaging.
Really like this, so I'm going to include it here. Oliver says, how does one qualify to be a Sidgwick mega fan? And if I may, why that name for your fans? Why not Sigilites or Sidgwickers? And All Elite Booking has responded by saying Sidgwick mega fans is the official not-for-profit organization name, but we call ourselves, the word I can't say,
Deft
Heads, which is fantastic. But yeah, how do you become a Sidgwick mega fan?
You become a Sidgwick mega fan by loving me. That's it. That's all you have to do. No, just be sound and just appreciate my work. I'll appreciate you back and you will get mega fan designation. I don't have to anoint you as a mega fan if there's any confusion at all. Just simply declare. I declare mega fandom. put on your bios. Love that. I love that. Honestly, I appreciate all your guys' support so much. I don't have to anoint you as a mega fan. Just simply declare. Do you want to know the lore of the mega fan?
Please do, yeah.
Basically, I call them Sidgwick Superfans at first because of the alliteration, it rolls off the tongue. And I realize, oh, don't call them that because it's shorten it to SS. Do not do that at all. Doesn't reflect my value systems whatsoever. It was the most WCW thing I've ever done unwittingly. And so I changed it to mega fans.
Makes sense. And off the back of that excellent response from Booking the Elite, I was just going to go to our final question. I'll just squeak this one in. This is probably worthy of an entire podcast in and of itself. Where do you see the Dark Order a year from now? New leader, either promoted from within or new to the group. New members, members leave, championships, Hangman's Association. Great question.
Oh, you're right. It's worthy of a different podcast. I don't envy AEW at all. The idea being that one, they are such endearing baby faces because in your head canon, they've like been through a hell of a lot. Even if it's not the idea, and I don't think it ever would be, it's not a mean-spirited company. It's not a ghoulish company at all. I think the implication that, because a lot of what they're doing and they're being nicer is like in storylines in honor of Mr. Brodie Lee. Mm. I just feel like, would it be tacky or ghoulish or problematic or just suboptimal in some way if they were to turn heel again? I just don't envy them at all. I would honestly prefer if this run that they have as babyfaces runs out of juice. And there is a bit of a dissonance in the fact that there's a big, massive group of them and they are all babyfaces. It's strange, but it works only because this dynamic and the circumstances make it work. I would, if anything, if this thing runs out of juice and it begins to really bring down the level of programming, I would have them quietly and respectfully disband.
Yeah.
And just say, we served our purpose. There's no point in continuing without Mr. Brodie Lee. It's nice that we've honored the legacy. I think we can be proud of the honest legacy that he's carried. Let's all go and do our own thing. And then once they are disassociated from the act, anyone can turn heel. Dark Order being heel again, I don't know, man. It just doesn't work for me.
No. And in terms of an association with Hangman, I think you could have them, you know, imagine, I feel bad booking this, but imagine all of the Dark Order getting super kicked by the Young Bucks in terms of people fighting outside, or not at the time of the match, but as a part of the build towards Kenny Omega versus Hangman Page, which, as I said, if you're wondering why we're not talking about, you know, titles and the forward planning following Double or Nothing, that podcast is going to be out on Sunday.
You've just given me a perfect idea. Basically, what they can do, because I don't think they want the Dark Order to be a thing forever and ever. Dark Order versus the Super Elite in Blood and Guts should happen at some point. Various combinations of Dark Order versus Super Elite ahead of the expected Omega Page match can happen at some point. When Hangman Page wins that world title. Maybe the Dark Order can disband after that and say, well, we've got our purpose. Like, if we could unite behind the champion-elect, the man who should have been champion but didn't have the confidence to get there, if we've given him the confidence and he's now the champion, our sort of rules being fulfilled here. That'll be a nice way to write them off, because I can't see it continuing in this circumstantial, good, but weird makeup dynamic, if you like. That'd be a perfect sweet end to note to end it on.
Final question today from Callum says, does Sidgwick think a boom period is possible again? Obviously not of the late 80s or 90s eras, but could we see pro wrestling make a splash in the mainstream again?
Oh God, you've saved the most lengthy answer to last. This genuinely is worth a podcast all of its own. Wilborn, do you want to pencil this in?
Absolutely.
I think that I get enough questions about this on and off to answer it in full. I'm not very good at being succinct. This is my best attempt at being succinct. I don't think the wider pop culture landscape lends itself to actual phenomenons anymore. Like Game of Thrones and the Marvel Universe, certain video games get massive. But like, everything used to be massive because there were only so many premium like platforms. CDs were expensive. Like, there wasn't as much competition for your attention, and there wasn't even social media. Like, your time is so divided. There are so many different platforms on which to present content. Like, it's all so fractured that only so-called, quote-unquote, worthy mediums like films and video games and certain music and TV, like only certain things within properly accepted forms of entertainment that you do not like films. What are you watching films for? People don't do that with films. It's like wrestling is pretty much the only thing. I don't think the way that culture has spawned and splintered over the past 21st century lends itself to like wrestling, particularly wrestling and its perception splashing the mainstream. You know, it can feed into the mainstream, Rock, Batista, etc. But when it's the other way around, it doesn't make a damn bit of difference. Ronda Rousey didn't make a difference. Bad Bunny didn't make a difference. Shaq hasn't made a difference. Like, I think the closest thing we can get is, and this is why people support AEW to the extent that they do, because if it ain't AEW, it ain't anyone else going to do it, that the convergence of the hottest free agents, the best wrestlers in the world, billionaire backer, a TV deal, the platform of what wrestling excels at, expression, genuinely good long-term storytelling if you're looking at it in good faith, wins and losses mattering, creative expression, all of this. If AEW isn't going to get bigger, then I don't think you'll ever get a better set of ingredients at the same time to make pro wrestling a thing again. So you might get something akin to 2017, when virtually all of wrestling outside of WWE was growing quite quickly. But that is the only sort of, I think that's the ceiling. I really think that's the ceiling. AEW can meet it. AEW already has, in terms of attendances and its TV deal, exceeded it. I think that AEW is the only chance at this point of pro wrestling ever getting quite big again. And as I said, if it ain't AEW, it ain't anything.
Yes. In summary, Callum, hopefully, but don't hold your breath. But we'll tackle this in more detail. I'll put this on the list for podcast next week, because it is a fascinating discussion to have. But thank you to everyone who sent us Twitter questions at What Culture WWE. Apologies, we didn't get around to them all. Thank you so much for all of them. We tried to cover off as many as we could regarding those WWE releases. And once again, as I said, all the fallout from Double or Nothing, we are going to deal with on a podcast, which hopefully isn't too out of date when it comes out on Sunday, following Dynamite, of course, on Friday night. But this has been your wrestling questions answered. As I said, at What Culture WWE, if you want to send us more questions, we try and tackle them every single day on the news, of course. And if you want to message us, you can follow Michael Sidgwick at
M Sidgwick. And thanks again for all your questions, guys.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at What Culture WWE. And make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts and more of these, because they're, well, they're the most fun podcasts we probably do. Right. For now, this has been Your Questions Answered. My thanks to Michael Sidgwick. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you soon.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.